Speak at the Western Conservative Summit. Well, let's start with State Senator Tim Neville. First of all, Tim, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Oh, you bet. How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're good. I'm assuming you're down here somewhere. Are you going to be down here sooner or later, or are you busy out there somewhere else?
Well, actually, I've been walking precincts, so I've been busy.
All right. So
it's
real quick,
campaign
season.
Wanted
to touch bases and to see what on earth is going on with Governor John Hickenlooper. So the Colorado legislature passed some bipartisan legislation that I understand you guys have been working on for a while regarding some marijuana issues. One, a tasting room, and then another one,
autism
to be used as sort of medicinally for kids with autism. And
then making public health companies be able to go in the field. Bad idea.
And then out of the blue, the governor vetoed them. Were you guys expecting that, or how did that all come about?
No, actually, we weren't expecting vetoes. It's a little bit frustrating because on all of those bills, I mean, I was the sponsor on two of those bills, the publicly traded company and the tasting room bill. And we've been working with the all the stakeholders, been working with the governor's office or the Department of Revenue or MED. In the case of that, the tasting room bill, that was being worked on for the last 4 years to try to get it to a position. And you know how it usually works with governmental agencies. If you can get them to neutral, that's about usually the best you're going to do. They don't like change. So we were able to do that with MED to get them to neutral. And we were a little bit blindsided, I believe, at the end here.
Well, and is it? I'm assuming too. It wasn't like secret, right, that you guys were working on this. If you're the governor, Governor John Hickenlooper's office, I mean, they have liaisons. They have people who could have certainly known that was going on.
Oh, that's correct, Julie. And usually, somebody will visit you from the governor's office and say, "We have a problem here. Or we have a problem there." What I've noticed in the last year or two. Is one of those situations where we don't get those visits from the governor's office or we don't get those concerns. And then all of a sudden at the last moment, it's a question of, you know, who sort of jumps onto the bandwagon. And my frustration this year is that, you know, if you have a few people that say, well, we don't like this or we don't like that. I mean, what is their political clout out there, I guess, when they go to the governor's office? Is it enough to, basically instead of trying to focus on, you know, the legislative process, they sort of circumvent that, and the governor seems willing to take a look. And you know, the frustration on these three bills, all three bills were bills that moved us forward. May not have been perfect, but moved us forward in key areas. And the governor chose to kick the can down the road instead and leave it up to somebody else to deal with the problems.
Well, you had to have the Speaker of the House, the Democrats, to get it passed. There, I mean, I lobbied down at the Capitol a decade and a half ago, and when we had bills, I'd go over and see the governor or somebody else would. It's shocking that, particularly his own, I can see him trashing you, you know, you're in the other party, but his own party?
Well, and she pointed out, a person who is skeptical might wonder what John Hickenlooper's actual motives were for veto. I mean, he's at the Bilderberg meeting, which is weird. That just sounds somehow evil, scientist-y or something like that. But do you think, could this be perhaps a precursor to him wanting to run for a higher office and deciding to sort of, you know, slam over the citizens of Colorado in an effort to appear more centrist on a national level?
Do you think? I was commenting to somebody the other day, and they asked me what was going on with the governor, and I said, I don't know. I said, I'm glad that the governor wasn't King Solomon, or the baby might have been split.
Well, it is kind of amazing. I mean, how would you rate the session overall from the Republican side? You know, we had the folks from Principles of Liberty. They weren't too kind to the Senate Republicans. Gave you mostly F's. I think you got a D+.
I get a D plus. I'm usually, you know, one of the top two or three on POL. Yeah. But I have to say, you know, POL does, you know, does what they do, and them trying to go in and rate so many bills, and there were a tremendous amount of moving parts on all these bills. I was looking through the Senate bills, the Senate rating, and I'm thinking, you know, wow, D+. So I was looking through, and some of the bills that, you know, that we disagreed on was, Senate Bill 61, reduction of the state income tax. And I couldn't figure out when they came out in opposition to that. there was one. I mean, some of the other ones you kind of understand if people don't quite get it all. One was the extension of the state lottery division. And, you know, I understand where people don't like the lottery, but the lottery's in the stat is in the Constitution. So the only question of that bill was, are we going to have an entity that oversees it, or do you give it back totally to the Department of Revenue with no appointments to oversight and tell them to, I don't know, come up with something? And, you know, if you're not going to repeal the whole lottery, then you probably need to have some kind of, a state lottery division or something that oversees it. So, you know, I can understand some of those disagreements. But then we had some other, you know, strange ones. And some that, frankly, I guess you could go either way. You know, those of us in the Senate did not like Andy Kerr's, what they call it, the Idaho stop for bicycles, you know, that can run the red lights and everything.
That's right.
And so it was a party line vote, but you know, POL apparently liked the bill. And, you know, I came across, I don't know, probably about 10 that just, you know, kind of glared at me. And you look at it and you go, okay, you know, love you guys, I only salute one flag.
You're Chuck and Julie here with State Senator Tim Neville.
Tell us about the wonderful backbone and proudness that the Republicans showed us on the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. And you guys were extended for another decade with no real changes other than just the governor gets to pick out from a larger group of freaks for the commission.
Well, I think you're going to see, you know, and my hope is that we saw the first ruling for Jack Phillips, which was, I'd say, you know, to use the term, maybe half a cake. It's not complete. I'm definitely hoping that the issue with the lady from Oregon, that you know, the florist, is heard very quickly. And I do believe we're going to have to get past an election season to be able to look at true legislation to either end it, change it more, or at least get the main thing is get the Civil Rights Commission out of its judiciary, quasi-judiciary.
You had your only chance. You didn't have to get it past the House. You could just killed it. Obviously, you had one or two people in the Republican caucus in the Senate that were not going to end it or modify it or do anything else. And it's your one great chance. And you know, we talked to Dave Williams. He's going to introduce the bill. Woo-woo. No chance of it going other than a kill committee in the House. So it really is the one great opportunity the Senate Republicans had to stand firm and you.
But we can be optimistic, Chuck, and hope there's another chance.
No, there won't.
Well, the challenge you have, you know, with 18 to 17 is once it does come out of the committee, it hits the floor. It only does take one person, and you know, the votes were not going to be
Why not expose the one or two people? I'm told it was two people. Expose it, great. We're voting on it, and if you want to continue it, we'll let the people know, and you can let the people know what your vote is, rather than having a nothing compromise. And so those who would want to continue the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, notwithstanding the Supreme Court and everyone else finding them atrocious, would be exposed. Instead, it's all hidden, and all 18 of you are blamed.
Yeah, well,
Let me go back to
what happens when you're in the majority party. If something does get through, it doesn't matter. You know, you're all going to be to blame one way or the other.
Right.
I think the frustration was there was a good amendment that was proposed by Bob Gardner, Senator Gardner, and that amendment was shot down. There was another smaller amendment, which just, you know, it was more window dressing. But, you know, it's one of those things that when we hear the rest of this ruling, if there is more work on this, you know, and we're going to have to see where it goes next year. And, you know, we'll be back to fight it another day.
Yeah, but you have no chance because the House isn't going to become, won't be Democrat. Well, you're not going to take the House. So it was your last chance, at least for
now,
quite a while.
Yeah, don't tell that to the younger representative.
Okay, we'll keep it away. We'll keep away from him.
Back. We're talking with Senator Tim Neville, and wanted to talk a little bit more back about Governor Hickenlooper, because one of the reasons we wanted to have you on was, you know, the legislature had worked hard to come up with some bipartisan bills regarding a couple of marijuana issues, and then Governor Hickenlooper, without knowing that you guys were debating debating it and discussing it, didn't bother to join into the debate, and then at the very end went ahead and vetoed it, to everyone's sort of surprise. You know, like I said earlier, my thought is that this is Governor Hickenlooper, again, sort of abandoning the citizens of Colorado, just and using being a governor as a total platform to probably run for something else. And I liked Governor Hickenlooper. But, you know, to me this shows that's the problem, I think, when you have a governor like that. And that's why I think this governor's race is so important here. You know, I mean, you want somebody who actually cares about Colorado, not just, like, I don't know, paving the future for their political career.
Well, it's definitely important to know where someone stands on the issues. And when the governor basically delegates to his, the information and the process to his department heads, then at least you would hope the department heads are working in good faith.
So when
they don't, and then all of a sudden, or they seem to be blindsided, then you see that something else is going on, especially with the, with cannabis legislation in general. That's been the case for the last couple of years. It's frustrating, but...
Yeah. And it's strange, given the fact that...
The publicly traded companies, though, guys, you know, Hickenlooper is out on his tour right now trying to get people to move to Colorado. To bring their businesses and that type of thing to Colorado. And when you take a look at publicly traded companies, out of all these states that have some kind of legal cannabis industry, there's only two that don't allow publicly traded companies. And so you think it's nice that
there's at least one, one business in which the big boys cannot just come in and,
but it's gonna
and
happen.
Quash
it's
all
gonna,
everybody else.
It's going to happen, though.
Well, what is strange is that you've got Hickenlooper vetoing bipartisan marijuana legislation. On the other side, you've got Cory Gardner getting together with Elizabeth Warren to
pass pro-marijuana
legislation. I mean, it's an amazing spin of positions.
It is on that issue. You know, I mean, I tell people, you know, when they talked about the three marijuana bills, I said, one of the focuses I've always had is, you know, basic freedom. So especially with patients on the first bill, you know, the autism bill. And then, on the tasting room bill, it's like, can you imagine? Yeah. People may or may not like it, but what we have right now is we have a proliferation of clubs that are either quasi-legal or illegal. And no place for folks to go. And then on the publicly traded companies, I don't think we have the transparency that we need from an ownership standpoint as it is. And we've done that with, we've actually found a solution for that with, so let's say the gaming industry is a perfect example. And that's what we tried to pattern that, with the folks at the Department of Revenue similarly. And, I got an hour or 2 hours before the veto, I got an email from from our liaison with the Attorney General's office saying, "Oh, sorry for the short notice, but we're going to oppose this too." But
I can't say
I'm shocked.
You say that Governor Hickenlooper is out there trying to bring businesses to Colorado. Can we stop him from doing that? I mean,
Amazon.
Yeah, we don't want Amazon. We don't want the stinking Olympics. We don't want. We barely can get home anymore as it is. No effort on transportation, just other than taxing us to death. So just stay at the Bilderberg conference, and don't send any more big companies our way, and we'll all be happy.
Well, big companies want to come our way because this is the place to be and it's an opportunity area for them. Great.
Yeah.
It's a question of taking your money and then giving it to them so that
exactly.
we can.
Right.
Yeah, that's not the way to go.
Yeah, I agree.
Senator Neville, one other just quick question. I know we'll have to let you go then. But you brought up the gaming and we had the Supreme Court ruling on the
sports gaming.
Betting. Do you see something like that coming up next session?
I bet.
I would bet too.
Well. Yeah, I'm guessing it's going to be, something that we're going to have to deal with. And I saw the ruling. We were in the middle of a bunch of other bills, and I just looked at it like it's not something we're going to, probably this session. So, frankly, how it goes. I use my waiter-waitress memory, from my restaurant days and say, okay, that's not in the sights yet here. But it's something we're going to probably have to deal with. And the question is how complicated government's going to try to make it That's always the fear.
Yeah, but, the only hope is it'll make it so complicated, they'll take so much off the top.
Yeah, that won't be worth it.
That your best friend, your bookie, will still be in business.
Yeah, because you can see, like, the PGA
well,
came out with a statement.
What they do. I'm sorry, that's what they're doing with the with the cannabis business.
Yeah,
some
exactly.
of the rules,
exactly.
And yeah, they're keeping the black and the gray market
right,
in business
going.
Because they put the legal people in no man's land, and that's just so wrong. It's idiotic and wrong.
I was talking to a major Democratic guy who's going to be working on it. I said, how can we con the people? Do we say we'll have more police? I go, no, that's
yeah, that's
good.
Right. They want it.
What do you want this? And, you know, they're just trying to figure out, how do we con them like we did with the marijuana, you know, going to education. Those fools bought that one.
You know, that is kind of funny. People say to me, I thought it was going to all go to education. And a part of me, I'm like, even I didn't believe that. I mean, they say that. But listen, Senator, we'll have to let you go here. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Tim.
Appreciate it as
Chuck
always.
And Julie. Yeah, as always, it's a pleasure. Take care.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you,
all right,
Senator.
You listening to Chuck and Julie. We're down here live at the Western Conservative Summit. You can hear every so often you may hear clapping in the background. That's because the afternoon session has
afternoon.
Started.
And if you hear the boos, that means Attorney General Sessions is
no.
No, people here are so polite.
He might hear
they won't.
You.